Give some people high fives and say you and tell them you love them. How many of you have had a good summer so far? Good summers? Staying out of the heat? No? Yes? How many of you going on vacation? Heading out? Shout out some vacation places for me. Vancouver, Canada, right? Gary and Rhonda, good to have you back. They just got back from Seattle and Vancouver. Nice. Someone said Pismo? How many is going to Pismo? Wow, I'm shocked. I actually thought about 75% of the church would be going to Pismo. Vacation is always nice, right? We always emphasize getaway, take a break, enjoy wherever you're going, and enjoy time with family and friends. It's important. Amen? So before I get into the word, just a real quick shout. An announcement is we have a couple fires going on in California, and Joanne is carrying water. You want to raise your hand again? She is taking water to help with some of the firemen that is fighting these fires. And so if you would be interested and would like to help donating water, then you could bring water to the church during our gatherings, and you can just place them in the back, and periodically Joanne will be taking the waters to the firemen's to help them out during their time of dealing with the disasters that is taking place. Right on? So we're going to get into the word. We've been talking about promises. And I have just a gut feeling, a spiritual check, that God is really trying to get our mindset and to get our heart just geared toward being in position to obtain and just go for the promises that he has spoken to our heart or that he has spoken in his word. How many of you can honestly say, I'm ready for some promises? Amen? Now, it seems like you guys are a little bit subdued this morning. I'm going to pull a Daddy Rhodes. Now, Daddy Rhodes isn't anybody to you, but a Daddy Rhodes to me is my pop. So my pop has always said this, and he said this to you guys. He says, if he has to preach his own, or what did he say? If he has to give his own claps and say his own amens, then his 30-minute message would turn into an hour or an hour and a half message, right? All right? So, all right. Now, don't clap too loud. You make me have a complex, like you don't want to hear me at all. So help me out this morning, all right? I know we're in the summer slumps here at Westside. We got people gone, people out, people sick. But that just means that those that are here is just going to have to make that much more noise. Amen? Amen? All right. So, promises. So the title of the talk today is Promises, Go For It. So look at somebody and say, go for it. Look at somebody else and with a little bit more ump, say, go for it. Promises are an exciting part of our faith. I have tried to consistently think of ways to share with unbelievers or people that has stepped away from the faith. I have tried in my heart and my mind to come up with ways to say why following Jesus is such a good thing. Aside from the fact that, you know, you're not going to go to hell. And one of the benefits and one of the good things about being a follower of Jesus and being a person of faith in Christ is the factors of the promises. There is thousands of promises in Scripture, and these promises is for God's children. It's for you and I. sometimes in on our journey of faith, there can be struggles. There can be ups and downs. There can be hard times. There can be absolute battles, because the word says that we have an enemy that seeks to destroy us. But on the flip side of that, our faith can be so exciting and so pleasurable and something to be happy about simply because of the promises of God. And when you begin to look at the various promises of God, there's so many promises from the Lord that is based off so many areas of our existence and so many areas of our life. When Butch got up here and shared this morning, he was basically, in essence, talking about receiving a promise from the Lord. And he really hit the nail on the head when he began to talk about how receiving these promises is not in our timing, but they are in the timing of the Lord. And there's something very important to realize when it comes about promises. So we know our journey of faith is broken down in seasons. There are seasons for everything, and we've talked about that before. What we also know is that there are specific and distinct promises for us in the season that we're in. So for instance, let's say you are in a season of a storm, and they happen. Well, there is a promise for you that there is peace in that storm. Let's say you are in a season of struggling financially. Well, there is a promise in the Word that says you will be provided for and that God's seed does not go begging for bread. Amen? Let's say that you are in a season of pursuing your purpose, pursuing what God puts in your heart, going after whatever it is that he has called you to do. There is a promise to you that says if you focus on his word, if you meditate on his word, and if you obey that word, that you will succeed, you will find success, and you will prosper at what you put your hands to. That's a promise, amen? Can you get a little excited this morning? That's a promise from the Lord. Here's a few examples, and these are just randoms. This isn't my text for today. So, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to sit still. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord. Your God is giving you a promise for longevity. Says that he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. A promise of strength. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Again, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, hallelujah, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. I love this one. No weapon forged against you will prevail. You will refute every tongue that accuses you, hallelujah. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Amen? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release the darkness for the prisoners. Man, we can just go on and on and on. Oh, they're all over the Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Isn't these beautiful? Bring the whole time. Now, every pastor has to read this one, all right? I'm going to smack you with it right upside the forehead. Bring the whole tithe. Can you say, bring the whole tithe? I don't want part. Or it's not me. The church don't want part. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Amen? Hallelujah. Promises. Here's the cool thing about biblical promises, is they are a guarantee. Can I get an amen? They are a guarantee. They are an absolute. There are no absolutes within the realm of humanity. None. Everything changes. People are fickle. What someone says one day changes the next day. They're, because humanity is flawed. And so anything that is within the realm of humanity and anything that comes out of humanity is not absolute. But there is one thing and one thing only that is absolute, and that is the Word of God. For the Word says, heaven and earth shall pass away. That means everything that encompasses our universe, our world, heaven and earth, the up and the down, will pass away. In other words, everything is not absolute, but my word shall remain forever. Amen? An absolute. See, God cannot lie. In fact, he cannot lie so much that as soon as he speaks, matter begins to form. He simply said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. He simply said, let there be a lesser and a greater light. And there was the split of the light, the moon in the evening and the sun during the day. He simply said, let there be waters, and there was the existence of waters. Let there be land, and there was the existence of land. Let there be creatures, and there was the existence of creatures. So God cannot lie to the point that as soon as he speaks, matter begins to form. Creation begins to develop. Whatever he speaks of begins to take development. So when we read these promises, the Bible says that every single word in the Bible is uttered by God via his Spirit through a servant. That every text, every letter, every word, every phrase is God breathed. In other words, it's God promised. That's why it's so important to get the word inside of our hearts, to get the word in our minds, because in essence, what we are reading is the infallible, creative, absolute promises of God meant for his people. Can I get it right on? The promises of God is simply his word. The more we get that in our heart, the more we get that in our mind, the more that comes out of our lips, the more we begin to live by that, the more the promises of God begins to develop in our life, in our circumstances, for our future. But now, talking about the promises of God or experiencing the promises of God can be bittersweet. They can be the root of growing our faith, but they can also be the root of diminishing our faith. So let me say that again so that's clear. The promises of God can be the root, the beginning of a growing faith, or they can be the root or the beginning of a declining faith. Why? Because when someone experiences a promise of the Lord, a obtaining a possession of the promise of God, all of a sudden their faith soars. Their faith grows. It energizes their mind. It energizes their emotion. It energizes their interaction with people. It just changes everything. But let's all of a sudden flip the other side of the coin. Let's say someone is believing for a promise. Someone is praying for a promise. Someone is giving toward a promise. But yet that promise doesn't come in the context or in the setting or in the timing that we are believing, speaking, praying, and hoping for. After a period of time or after a rough experience, if we're not careful, our faith and trust in God can begin to diminish because that promise did not occur like we hoped, thought, planned, prayed, preached, sang, believed on down the line. Am I making sense this morning? So when you look at the promises of God are mighty, are powerful, are wonderful, are exciting. But at the same time, they can also be used against us in the workings or the schemes of the enemy. Because the enemy comes in and he tries to get us to think about prayers not being answered. He tries to get us to think about things not happening. He tries to get us to look at other people's circumstances and other people's lives. And he tries to get the fact or the magnification of what they didn't receive. Have you ever had faith and believed for something, then out of nowhere a thought to you came about somebody else's circumstance and how they didn't receive or how they didn't have their prayers answered, and all of a sudden you went into a slump or you went into a drop in your faith because you was like, oh, if God didn't do this for this person, then my goodness, that promise isn't going to occur for me. Have you ever? Am I the only one? I mean, that happens to me weekly. I'm praying for something, believing for something. I wake up feeling good. Thank you, Jesus, for whatever it might be. And then throughout the day, all of a sudden, the enemy begins to just pinpoint me and just begins to remind me of other people's circumstances, other people's lack, other people's interaction or lack of interaction with God. And then all of a sudden, I find my faith diminishing. I'm human. Is that okay? Find my faith diminishing. Not based off of what I believe, but based off what I begin to think because of what I've seen in other people's lives. And so what we know is the enemy comes in and he uses the lack of, I shouldn't say the lack of God's promises coming to pass, but our lack of knowing the understanding of why promises come or do not come to pass in the context that we're praying for. Now, does that make sense? See, we don't, I really feel like I should just kind of stand on this a second. We cannot base God's interaction in our personal life based off God's interaction in somebody else's life. Somebody else's interaction with God cannot be the basis for our belief in God. Right? Because number one, we don't know the big picture. We don't know what really was transpiring between God and other individuals. We don't know the details, and at the same time, we're not them. We're us. And God is not a respecter of people, and God responds differently to each person, because we have different minds and different hearts and different lives and different takes and different purposes and different callings. And I really feel heavy in my heart to declare and to really proclaim to you this morning, do not base your faith of what you've seen in somebody else's life. But you get down and dirty with God yourself, and you connect with God on your level, and you hear from God in your ears, and you allow God to deposit in your mind, and you just phase out what everybody else went through, and you declare, for me and my house, I'm going to believe in the Lord. I'm going to serve in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And you allow God to do in you what he has purposed and planned to do in you. And let me declare that for even your the history of your family. You might be believing and praying for something from God, but all of a sudden you look back in your family tree and you're like, oh, my family was poverty stricken. Oh, no, my family was disease bound. No, my family was violent. No, my family was addicts. That was your family. The curse has been broken. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You are not held bound by your family's experience. You are not held bound by what they went through. You're not held bound by their sin and their weakness. Hey, my granddad was an adulterer. My granddad was violent. My granddad was a mean man, was not a good man. But my dad broke that curse. I broke that curse. I'm not bound by the curse of my granddad, but I am bound by the promises of God today for my life. And God says Jonathan's going to be blessed. God says Jonathan's going to prosper. God says Jonathan's going to walk in the anointing and the gift and the healing. God says, Jonathan's going to walk with me. Amen? Can I get a little excited this morning? Come on. We're talking about the promises of God. And this is something to be excited about, but it's something to be aggressive about at the same time, because we can get excited because God has promised you things, but we got to be vigilant and violent and aggressive because the enemy wants to come in and he wants to steal everything that God has promised you. And so we got to rise up and declare what the Bible says, the violent taketh by force. Don't let the enemy come in and steal your promise, but you rise up in the authority of Jesus Christ and you bind that devil up. You kick that devil out of your heart and you declare and stand on and believe in and proclaim the promises of God Almighty for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, thank you, God, for the promises. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, I got some chicken skin going on right now. I don't know if it was that song about losing the food or what, but it got me getting back to my soul roots. I don't know. Woo! The promises of the Lord. The promises of the Lord. As the word says, are yea and amen. Come on, you hear what I'm saying this morning? The promises of the Lord is yes and amen. Yes and amen. In other words, is yes and it's finished. Yes and it's finished. Yes and it's finished. Yes and it's finished. In other words, go for it. It's finished, amen. The promises of the Lord is go for it. It's finished. Go for it. The devil's been defeated. Go for it. God's given you favor. Go for it. The impossible will be the possible. Go for it. God is on your side. Go for it. God is behind your back. Go for it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Go for it. Anything through God is possible. Go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, it's so ingrained in my heart for you to experience and possess and obtain and begin the pursuit of promises in your life. You might be thinking and saying, you know what, Jonathan, I prayed for such and such, and it never happened. I believed for something specific, and God let me down. And truth be told, I don't have an answer for you on that. Everybody goes through seasons and moments and times and circumstances in life to where we can all feel like God lets us down. And some circumstances is harder than other circumstances. But this is what I do. What I do know is that was then and now is now. And today, despite what I went through in my past, I am going to declare. I am going to trust. I am going to hold on. I don't know why you lost what you lost. I don't know why you went through what you went through. I don't know why God didn't do what you asked him to do, but I do know this. You're here today. You're breathing today. God kept you alive today. God put you right where you are at right now for a specific reason and a specific purpose, and you have two reasons. You can declare and obtain the promises of God, or you can sit in the muddy grubs. You can let doubt overtake you. You can disbelieve God. You can blame God. You can accuse God, and in that case, you will miss out on everything that God has for you. I can't say why you went through what you went through, but I do know this. The good steps of a good person is ordered by the Lord, and in that order, in that structure, is promises, is peace, is prosperity, is blessings beyond our wildest dreams. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't base your perception, your pursuit, your belief, and current promises of what you went through yesterday or yesteryear. You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. It will absolutely prevent us from entering into what God has for us in this season in our life. And I know life is hard sometimes. Just to be honest, without offending you, sometimes it absolutely sucks. But I do know this, that we got a God that is good. We got a God that is great. We got a God that no matter what we go through, is still worthy to be praised. It's still worthy to be lifted up. It's still worthy to be trusted. Despite how hard life gets, God is still God on the throne, and he's there for you, he's there for me, and his promises is yes and amen. Hallelujah, Lord. So looking at the context of promises, I thought this was going to be a short talk this morning. What do I know, right? We have general promises, and we have personal promises. Let me say that again so you get it in your heart and your mind. We have general promises, and we have personal or specific personal promises is another way to say it. Let me read you an area of Scripture. God didn't give it to you, sorry. It's Genesis 3:8, and then I'm going to be jumping to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Actually, no, I got that backwards. It's Exodus 3:8, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So the first one is a prime example of a general promise. General promises is the promises that we just read in my digital Bible. So we read the scripture, I believe it was last week. And it's when God spoke to Israel through Moses about a promise of a promised land. Genesis 3:8 says, "So I have come down to rescue them," them being Israel, "from the hand of the Egyptians to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." God, this is a very general promise for the totality of Israel as a whole. He was speaking to Israel, "I am going to take you into the promised land." Very general. And these general promises is very important. The general promises become building blocks in our life. They become foundational pillars that our faith is based off of. And it's very important to know the general promises of God. I forget the exact number, but I know we reach into the thousands of general promises that we have in Scripture. It's important to know what God promises you when you are in need, when you have want, when you have desire, when you are in pursuit, when you are struggling, or when you're just happy and everything's going great and you're on the mountaintop with God. It's extremely important to know and realize the general promises of God for you, because it does a few things. Number one, it establishes domain for you. Establishes your domain. God's promises is your and my domain. It's what I have inherited. It's what mine. It's the perimeter that I can put up a sign that says no trespassing. See, where I come from, land is very important. And that sign that says no trespassing is also very important. It's very important for the person who's thinking whether or not to ignore that sign and take a walk through that land that is not theirs. In my neck of the woods, that no trespassing should say stop or you will get shot. Really? I'm not kidding. Especially in Texas. Texas is, Mississippi is a little bit more nicer than Texas, but in Texas, there's actually a law. If you do a certain thing on your land and someone walks on that land, you have the legal right to put some buckshot in their behind. Anyway, so the general promises is like your property line. It's your domain. See, I knew my grandfather's and my uncle's and my dad's property line growing up. I knew where it was. And I also knew the property line of surrounding owners. So I would say we had between 600 to 1,000 acres to our disposal growing up. It was a mix of family land and just friends' land and people's land that just didn't care what you did on it. But we knew the zone. We knew our domain. We knew where we could hunt at. We knew what lakes or ponds we could fish in. We knew where we could ride our off-road vehicles or not. It was our domain. Am I making sense with that? See, the general promises of God is your domain. It's your area. And when the enemy tries to come into your area or someone's trying to play mind games into your area, you have the right, you have the power and the authority from God Almighty to say, no, this is my domain. You have no right to come into my territory, to come into my family, to come into my health, to come into my finances, because this is what the Bible promises. This is what God has declared for me, and what he has declared for me is my domain. It's mine. So Satan, get out of my domain in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it truly is legit. God... Man, I don't have time to get into it, but the Bible is really brings out the importance of domains and areas and what's yours or what's not yours, and what is yours and it's your right, and you can declare it and you have authority over it. God is all about giving his people domains because God is a God of domains. Ooh, I wish I had time to get into that. If you really think about it, what Satan tries to do is he tries to come in and he tries to steal domain. He tries to steal domain so that he can have authority. Whoever owns the domain owns the authority. That's why, truth be told, that there is certain demonic spirits over specific communities and specific cities. It's because there's been activity, demonic activity, that community has full-on welcomed. And because of their full-on welcoming of these activities, they've allowed a spirit to come in and take domain over specific communities. And the Bible even speaks of certain spirits, certain spiritual hierarchies that has domain, that has that carries forth principalities. And it's only because it's given to them. Well, that started from God. The Garden of Eden was a specific domain. Adam and Eve was over that domain. It was theirs. They had control. They had authority. They had free will. They had liberty. And there was only one rule within that domain. And God said, don't eat of this specific tree. Now, for all that to make sense and be applicable to us, the promises of God is our domain. And we have every right in the world to exercise our authority in Christ within the perimeters of the domain that he gives us. You have a peace, that is your domain. You have a promise of prosperity, that is your domain. You have rest from Jesus. All you that is heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. That rest is a domain that is yours. So anytime anybody, any circumstance, or any spiritual force comes against you and tries to hinder you within your domain, you have a right to bind that up, rebuke that, and declare that this is yours, given to you by the promises of Almighty God. And Satan, you're not going to come in. You're not going to destroy my domain of prosperity. You're not going to destroy my domain of a solid, healthy marriage. You're not going to destroy my domain of a righteous family. You're not going to destroy my domain of a solid job. You're not going to destroy my domain of health. You're not going to destroy my domain of anything that you're trying to take away from me, because it's given to me by God Almighty, and I have authority of it, and I bind you up and I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. But how often do we exercise that authority within the realm of our domain? See, that's really, and this makes it a really, really hard as a minister, because as a minister, I can lay my hands and I can pray for people and I can encourage people. I can even prophesy to people. I can give them a direct word from God. But if that person doesn't take authority over their domain that has been given to them, then guess what? There's a lack of effectiveness that comes through the leader or the minister's prayer. So Jesus could not heal. And the reason he could not heal is because it said that they did not believe. Now, belief in God is access to a domain. So if you believe that God is going to do A, B, or C, then all of a sudden that belief creates access to have authority in that domain. Am I making sense? So if I believe that is God's will for me to have peace, then that belief that God's will for me to have peace gives me access to that domain, and now I can take authority over that domain. But now the people in Galilee, they did not believe. And so since they did not believe, they could not go in and take authority over a domain of health and a domain of healing and a domain of intimacy with God, because they did not believe. Now, they believed that God was good, God wanted to bless them, but they did not believe in the specific authority and power of Jesus Christ at that given moment and at that given time. So what that says to us, we can have promises all day long. We can have all these thousands of promises for us from God. But if we do not step into our domain with belief and with faith in God, guess what? Those promises are only going to be a promise. They will not be possessed and they will not be obtained. Right? Now, I'm giving you something that you can live with. Giving you something that can allow you to change circumstances. That can allow you to access the promises of God. Yes and amen. Oh, I forget. My watch is 10 minutes fast. Thank you, Lord. I was looking at this thing thinking, Let's move to specifics real fast. So we have specific promises. Let me read you an area of scripture that is a perfect example. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. This is a specific promise from God to Abraham. Specific. It was not a general promise for the whole nation or for a whole group of people, even though this promise for Abraham did effect and did, in effect, bless the whole nation of Israel. It was given to one man at one time for a specific purpose. And God still makes promises like that today. It's very important for us to realize this, and it's even more important for us to believe this. I know this requires a little bit of extra faith, an extra step into the depths of God, because in general, specific promises from God has a prerequisite, and that prerequisite is an intimate, specific relationship with God. See, I promised my life to my wife because of our relationship. Right? I make promises to my children because of my relationship with my children. Without relationship, there is a problem and an issue with specific promises. So when we have an intimate, specific relationship with God, in essence, we position ourselves for a specific promise from the Lord. Now, general promises are obtained and is for any believer, any child of God. But specific promises is just only for you and yourself, or maybe you and your wife, or you and your family. But so oftentimes, when you get into specifics, it requires really a deeper relationship with the Lord. We can go on and on and on about specifics. Like when Jesus, he gave a promise to his followers. He said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you fisher of men. That was a specific promise because they had a specific type of relationship. Am I making sense with that? So specific promises is God speaking to us specifically concerning hopes, dreams, callings, purposes, plans, just things he wants us to do. But this is something to always remember. It's always based off the word. God will never give you a promise that is not based off his word. If you get a promise, but yet it's not based off his word, then that promise is just your crazy, wild imagination. Or somebody else's wild, crazy imagination that they're trying to put in you. Right? So the word of God is the standard. It's what makes it all absolute and makes it foundational. Just a personal story, and I'll shut down with this, is I was given a personal promise from Genesis 12 myself. I was in Beeville, Texas, pastoring a really difficult church. It was late night, Saturday night. I was reading the Bible, and I read what I just read you, plus a few more verses, and I felt God just speak to my heart, nothing audible, nothing weird, just I felt God just speak to my heart that this is for you, Jonathan. This is for you. That you're to do exactly what Abraham did. You're to leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. Now, when I first heard that, I literally thought God was telling me to leave my country, like the United States of America. And shortly after that, I sought out various areas of mission work. And me and LaRonna always butt heads on that. I was ready to go to Indonesia. She is like, no, I'm staying right here in the United States of America. Thank you very much. She said, I'll go for a few weeks at a time, but I'm not moving there. It never worked out that way, but there was certain things that God was saying to me when he was saying, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's house. And without me getting into too much detail, he was basically saying to me, leave my upbringing. Leave my homeland. Leave my family back in Mississippi. Leave my parents that's in Missouri. I want you to go. And he's also speaking to me in a sense of ministering cross-culturally. In essence, he was saying, I don't want you just to focus on your race, but I want you to be open to focus on other cultures and other races. I can honestly say for the last, ever since 2003, really, which was before this, me and LaRonna and our family has been minorities in the communities that we've lived in. And God has opened doors and God has positioned us to minister to cultures and races outside of our own. And it was all based off what God spoke to me. And he promised, he said, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure everything's okay. Now, I didn't receive this and have the idea like, ooh, I'm going to be some great dude. Like, you know, like he told Abraham, be a great nation. That's not my mindset. My mindset was, okay, God's going to bless us. God's going to take care of us. He's promised it. But there was a contingency. So God told me, he said, through the scripture, you know, just leave your place, leave your family, leave your upbringing. And it has been one of the ways that I have had the grace to not go back home. Because there's been times I've wanted to go back to Mississippi. I don't want to go back to Missouri. Missouri means misery. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. Mississippi's better than Missouri. You got the real Southern right there. No. Anyway, we thought about it. We've been tempted. We even tried it one time for 4 months, and it just didn't work out. So we went. We've gone. We've left. We've sacrificed. And I can honestly say to you as a living example that God has blessed us beyond measure. His promises has came true. And it was specific. God saying, Jonathan, you leave your household, you leave your family, you leave where you was brought up from, and you be open and you be willing to minister outside of your own people, outside of your own race, and I will bless you. And his promises has came true to me and my family. And God will do the same to you. And I know God has done the same for a lot of you. I've had these conversations with you. See, God's promises is wonderful. And they're legitimate. They're great. But I end with this today. Do you have open ears to hear what God is promising? Do you have an open heart, an open mind to take it in, to receive it? Not just in a general sense, but in a specific sense. What is God wanting to promise you about your family? What is God wanting to promise you about your career? What is God wanting to promise you about your purpose? What is God wanting to promise you about your plan? What is God wanting to do in your life? Because he has promises for you that is specific. Specific. See, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. These order steps is based off promises. Amen? Promises. There will always be a contingency. We will always have to do our part. In order for Israel to conquer the promised land, they had to go into the promised land, trust God, and defeat all the ites. God's promise for me and my family has came true. But I had to be willing to leave the comfort of my family. The comfort of my mom and dad. The comfort of my children having grandparents near. The comfort of my in-laws. See, God has promises for us. But are we willing to do our part? When I was thinking about this, praying about this, this is the ending that I really felt the Lord just drop into my heart. So he's given us promises for money, but are we willing to work the right way for the money? He's given us promises for health, but are we willing to live a healthy life? He's given us promises for friends, but are we willing to show ourselves friendly? He's given us promises of purpose, but are we willing to pursue our calling? He's given us promises of prosperity, but are we willing to be generous? See, we can preach promise, 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 promise till we're blue in the face, but unless we're willing to put our faith into action and to act upon the things we must do, then there's a big possibility the promises will only be a promise and not a possession. My heart is for you to experience the promises of God, but not just by sitting and saying, "Give me, God," but by you rising up, taking a step of faith, doing what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, so that you can possess a plethora of promises that God has specifically for your life. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let me pray over you this morning. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, your promises are legit. They are yes and amen. But the work of the enemy is legit just as well. The enemy tries to come in and he tries to hinder us and distract us and put us on detours so that we're not able to possess, obtain, or even pursue our promises. But Lord, I just ask that you begin to work inside the hearts, begin to work inside our minds, begin to work within our circumstances through your Spirit so that we can begin to be led and be reminded and consistently convicted of the reality that says we have promises, but yet we also have to put our faith into action. We have to work for it. We have to go for it. We have to fight for it. We have to believe for it, just like Israel did the promised land. Lord, I honor you. We honor you. We bless you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. I speak blessings. I speak favor. I declare opportunity over Westside this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say amen and amen. God bless you guys. Love you tonight at 6 o'clock. Have an awesome, amazing afternoon. Be amazing afternoon.